friends. Welcome back to the first episode of 2021 of Be Here for a While. Today's episode of Be Here for a While is brought to you by Kinco Smoothies. Listen, my skin's glowing. I've been involved with them lately. I'll tell you about them. Discount code, and actually a very specific one just for my listeners, like the first 100 listeners or 100 listeners that activate the code will be the ones to get the highest discounts. Pretty cool. Anywho, I'm so happy to be back. I'm sorry. I know I said I was taking Christmas and New Year's week off, but you'll understand in a second why I took a third week off, because this is the episode about how my listeners, myself, have pivoted. I know people hate that word. Adapted, rebranded, remodeled, refurbished. I don't know. I'm not a thesaurus. I really hope that's the right term too. Dictionary defines it. Thesaurus is different words for it. Anyways, so you'll understand in a second when I tell my pivot story. But I'm so excited. I have recorded voice notes from listeners telling their inspiring stories of how this pandemic has, you know, obviously changed their life and loss of job and what they did instead, like how they became better, how they now have different thriving businesses. And, you know, it has its ups and downs. It's not all perfect, but it was really, I loved getting these stories. And so I have an idea. I mean, DM me on Instagram if you're like, Rachel, no, or yeah, that sounds cool. But I have an idea now. So DM me on Instagram and tell me what you think at Rachel, RachelNobrien. Reads like Rachel O'Brien. Anyways, I just really like hearing other people's stories. It's cool to interview people. I love that as well. But I was thinking like once a month, maybe I will try to do listener themed episodes where you guys send me voice notes of your personal stories. So like, for example, like maybe one episode, it can be, you know, a bad breakup that hurt at the time, but ended up leading you to something or someone greater, or a career heartbreak that turned into a blessing, or I don't know, a time that you went with your gut when you sensed danger and found out you were right, or I don't know, there's a bunch of them. Oh, like a time maybe you thought you hated someone or thought they were your enemy, and then they turned out to be a really close friend in the future. So just like themed things like life. I don't know. I like it because I love hearing from you guys and in your own voice. I found that like, yeah, I don't want to just read, you know, if you send me your story, I prefer that it's your voice, like just a voice note on your phone. Because it's your story. So anyways, that's one of my ideas that I want to try to do, you know, once a month or something. And like I said last episode, if you have any other ideas for like guests or themes, let me know. I have some stuff coming up, but I want to hear from you guys. So either DM me or email me at info@RachelOBrienComedy.com. Okay, so this episode is from you, for you. I will share my own personal story, I guess, right at the top here of my own pivot. So, okay, the pandemic hit, obviously. And at that point, had a lot of tour dates I was really excited about. Those had to be canceled. And that was fine. I mean, I was it was a bummer, but like I figured the pandemic wouldn't last super long. And I was like, all right, well, maybe it would take a break it would be like a nice break from traveling and I can focus on the second podcast I've always wanted to start, which I did start like right when the pandemic hit. Seven Deadly Sinners, listen to it. But as the months wore on, I would start to kind of feel sad occasionally where I was like, I worked a decade to become a full-time podcaster and comedian. It wasn't until a decade into my time in Los Angeles where, you know, like with acting gigs and whatever but to finally make it as an entertainer, it took me 10 years to do that. Like I worked my butt off having millions of side jobs before I could finally support myself as a full-time entertainer. And I'd only been doing that for maybe like 2 or 3 years before the pandemic hit. And so like that hurt a little bit where I was like, I worked so hard and this is, it's only getting better. And now, oh shit. And plus I just genuinely missed, you know, meeting all of you guys at my shows and I really missed being on stage. But, you know, I know it will come back and I'm super excited. I mean, I actually absolutely love working on my new true crime comedy podcast, Seven Deadly Sinners. And I think I actually kind of want to create that into a live show along with stand-up shows still once the pandemic is over. But yeah, so I, yeah. So with that being said, now I'm back on the grind of having to supplement my income, the income that I'd worked so hard to just make, you know, entertainment industry. Because at least 50% of my income was from touring and doing stand-up, you know. So I didn't necessarily need to move out of LA. I wasn't like broke because I still make, you know, half the income on podcasting. And but it was like LA was kind of dead. It's just kind of was very sad and weird. And my rent was so expensive. So in order to save money, I moved from LA to the Palm Springs area into my parents' vacation home. A little shameful at my age that I'm living in a parent's home, but I am paying them rent. But there is, you know, no shame in trying to save money during a global pandemic. I have to remind myself that. And I'm also, I recognize that I'm super blessed that I have a home I can go to. So anyways, while being here in the desert, I've connected with some people who do real estate. One of them is a childhood friend of mine, best friend of mine. She's on the podcast, Kylie. And another is a real estate agent that I've followed their account on Instagram for years. They post all these like beautiful photos of homes and just desert scenery. So we met up for coffee and I talked to Kylie all the time. And anyway, because having two podcasts, isn't enough work for my psychotic ass, meaning I work a ton on them. Like with Seven Deadly Sinners, for example, like Be Here for a While is a good amount of work. Seven Deadly Sinners is an intense amount of research and then writing a 40-page script every week. That's more than I did in college. So yeah, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And I'm still doing exactly what I want to do and making a living at it, which is podcasting. And so I decided to find a way to supplement what I lost with my tour dates. And I decided to study for my real estate license, which I always loved school. So the studying has been like kind of enjoyable and I've done it like pretty quickly. I'm not done yet, but I don't know. Like, yeah, it sucks that I'm like having to revert back to side jobs. I don't view it that way. Like I'm really proud to be someone who works my butt off. Like, there's no shame in that. If you ever feel personal shame and just like, oh, I don't look like, you know, I'm not rich like, you know, the Real Housewives. Like, you know, like I have to really work hard and, you know, I have to work hard to have this beautiful home. I don't just get to like lounge around and have a glam squad. Like, honestly, I'm sick of that shit because that's not really how life goes. I mean, maybe for some people, but it doesn't matter. Like, happiness is a spectrum too. Like you can be, I would honestly probably not be super happy if I didn't work a ton because I really enjoy it. And just it's a self-esteem builder to know that you've created, you know, part of your life or all of your life, depending on if you have a partner or not. But anyways, I just want to say I'm proud to be someone who works my butt off. No shame in that. And I know I'm going to be incredibly successful one day, but I never want to portray an image that like everything was easy. So that's why I'm telling you all this. And that's why I wanted you to hear my other listener stories. You know, it's never easy. Like you're never going to see me unboxing, you know, a designer purse and then tossing it amongst my other designer purses as if like, you know, I didn't have to work my butt off to do it, or I just probably wouldn't post that. And I'm never going to brag that everything's perfect because it almost never is for people. So I just wanted to be real and honest, and my listeners that sent in their stories are being real and honest, and I hope it inspires you and makes you feel at home in your own quarantine pandemic struggles, because we're all in it, man. We're all in it. So I'm really excited about these stories. The first one I'm going to share is from Martha Dunphy. I'm just going to let her tell it and then I will comment on it afterwards. But I really love her and her husband's story because it involves something I'm so passionate about, which is food. So without further ado, give it up for Martha Dunphy.
Hi, my name is Martha Dunphy. My husband and I own Mutiny Barbecue, a catering business that started as a result of COVID. It all started about 6 years ago when I got my husband a smoker for Christmas, and I essentially created a monster. A little bit of backstory on my husband. Throughout high school, he managed a food stand at a high-end beach club. Throughout college, he worked at various restaurants. He went to school for journalism, and for the past 10 years, he's been working at a media company that's required him to travel to various parts of the South, where he's gotten a ton of inspiration for our food. So anytime my husband and I would have a party at our house, you know, you have a party and you think, okay, you invite 20 people and you think maybe 10 of them will show up, but we would invite 20 people and all 20 would show up and they would invite their friends. And, we think a lot of it was because of the food. Some of it could have been because of us, but we think that mostly people came because they just absolutely loved the food. My husband's been working on his recipes for several years now. He does, I'd say, 90% of the work. I do about 10. So he developed all the recipes except for the mac and cheese. That's the only thing I developed. And we make all of our own sauces, our own rubs, our own pickles. Pretty much we make everything from scratch. And about 2 years ago, we thought we wanted to get into catering. So we bought a 14-foot offset smoker. But, you know, life happens. And we both were really caught up in our full-time jobs. We also have a toddler, and we just never really got to get serious about it. March 2020 hit and I lost my job. A lot of the country and the world lost their jobs. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe we should look at this catering thing again. And New Jersey has these laws called the cottage laws, which essentially say that you can't do any food business out of your house. So I knew I needed to find a solution. I went online and I found this place called the Asbury Park Food Collective. It's located about 2 miles from my house. And I sent my husband over to go look at it. And he comes home and he says, "That's it. We're signing." And I looked at him. And I said, "I don't have a job. We're in the middle of a global pandemic and you want us to incur rent? Are you crazy?" And he said, "Martha, listen to me. This is my passion. You have to meet these guys that run the space. Trust me, this is the right decision for us. Come with me on Friday when we go sign the lease." And I said, "Okay, well, I'm definitely coming because I need to check this place out and I need to meet these guys too." So Friday comes around and I met the guys, and I mean, they've just been awesome. They've been so incredibly supportive. A little bit of backstory about them. They started as a food stand on the boardwalk in Asbury Park selling these Korean tacos, and they've been wildly successful with their food. They opened a second location on Cookman Ave in Asbury Park, and they opened the Asbury Park Food Collection about 4 years ago as a place for them to increase their production. They also opened it up to other food manufacturers. So I met the guys, and they just were so supportive, and they said that they believed in us, and that meant a lot to us, that they really believed in us. They just were so impressed with my husband's menu, and they were so impressed with our website, and they said, "You need to do this. You know, you need to do this. we believe in you. They believed in us so much that they placed their first catering order with us. So we did the owner Sam's birthday party, and they were just so incredibly impressed with everything. And then from there, you know, a lot of friends and family started placing orders and just people that we know in the community. So my son's daycare placed several orders with us. Our vet placed an order for his kid's birthday. A woman my husband once worked with placed an order for her kid's birthday. And just we started advertising on local Facebook pages and we got a ton of orders that way. We started doing cross promotions with other businesses. And we were pretty much booked every weekend this summer. I have to say we were very lucky. And it's been a lot of backbreaking hours. I mean, my husband would spend the night sometimes at the Food Collective, you know, just managing the smoker and doing prep work. It's been absolutely backbreaking for him. And it's been hard. But the one thing that really makes it worth it for us is to hear the feedback from our customers, and it's been really, really encouraging. You know, people just absolutely love our food. They can taste the love that goes into everything that we do. So yeah, we were incredibly busy this summer, and the fall hit, and a lot of our orders started to get canceled because the COVID numbers started to go up, and we're in New Jersey, and the weather's cold, and nobody really wants to do an outdoor party when it's cold outside. So we had to kind of reinvent ourselves. We started these things called the Sunday football specials, where people can place small orders with us and come pick them up from our location. And the first few weeks were friends and family again, but we've really started to kind of get some momentum, and we've pretty much been selling out of food each weekend. We have this Mutiny Rib Sandwich that is just, it's beyond words. It's so good. And a friend of mine actually said that he's heard people around town talking about our sandwich, and that's pretty awesome. And we're hoping that we can keep this momentum going to the end of the football season. After the season, we're thinking of maybe transitioning to maybe some brunch sandwiches, and then just keep the momentum going into the summer months. That's pretty much it. My name is Martha Dunphy. If you want to support us, our Instagram page is at Mutiny Barbecue. So that's at Mutiny BBQ. Our Facebook page is at Mutiny BBQ. If you need to get a hold of me for any reason, it's Martha at Mutiny BBQ. If you have friends and family in New Jersey that want to book a catering gig, check out our website, www.mutinybbq.com. If it's a Sunday, and you're in the Asbury Park area, check out our Instagram page for all of our food that we have available for that day. Thank you very much for your time. Bye.
So Martha Dunphy's story kind of gave me chills when her husband walked in after viewing the space to launch their business and was just like, this is it. We're doing it. And she was like, we're in the midst of a global pandemic. I just lost my job and you want to... We're going to do more rent now. But I love when people take leaps of faith and go after their passions. And, you know, I love that it's also in that story, it's people pulling other people up. Like the owners of the Food Collective placed the first catering order that the Dunphys ever had for their birthday party. So I thought that was really, really cool. And I'm going to put in the show notes where you can find them. But they're on Instagram at Mutiny BBQ, which I thought was spelled differently, but it's Mutinybbq. Okay, guys, I'm sure you can guess that the percentage of people and goals that make it through the whole year on New Year's are not awesome. But did you know that only 8% of New Year's resolutions survive the whole year? Those are long odds for a lot of important goals, like, say, eating healthier. This year, you deserve a little help in the healthy eating resolution department, and that's why there's Kenco. Kenco makes seriously nutritious smoothies for seriously busy people. Expensive store-bought smoothies are sugar-packed calorie bombs, and fresh-pressed juices have way less fiber. Kenco's breakfast smoothies are only made from organic whole fruits and vegetables, flash frozen and slow dried to lock in all the fiber and nutrients. nothing added and no fiber taken out. Kanko smoothies are easy to make. No blender, juicer, or kitchen needed. You just pour the Kanko packets into water or your favorite milk, shake it up, and take on the day. So I recently went on a long hike, like a super long one, and I wanted to be prepared with a little healthy nourishment. And until Kanko entered my life, I wouldn't have known what to do. Because, I mean, one time I put pork rinds in my pocket and ate them on a walk, but that was before it was new year, new healthy me, and Kanko is helping me get there. It's so easy to shake it up on the fly. And listen, if Pork Rind Girl can use Kanko and feel better and look better, you should try it too. Go to Kanko.com, take their quick nutrition quiz, and fill your flexible monthly order with your choice of 15 functional flavors that match your goals and taste. Each Kanko smoothie costs less than $3 and packs half the daily fruits and vegetables you need to reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and some cancers. I mean, how often are you really getting the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables? Sometimes think I am, and then I'm like, no, I haven't. And that's why Kanko has saved my life. So start creating healthy habits right now. Go to Kanko.com/BeHere. Pick out your flexible monthly plan, and the first 100 listeners will get 25% off your order. That's Kanko.com/BeHere and get 25% off, but only if you're one of the first 100. You love the show, we love you, so get this special deal, 25% off for the first 100 listeners at Kenko.com/BeHere. That's Kenko.com/BeHere. This next one is Gertie Harris. I met her probably a year and a half ago. When I was staying at the Denver hotels and doing kind of promos with them, I did a comedy show at one of them where she was doing marketing. And she was always just super cool and awesome. And, you know, you're going to hear her story and how she had to change it up.
Okay, so this is a little bit of background. I used to work for some hotels in downtown Denver doing their marketing. And unfortunately, when the pandemic hit, we were all furloughed because obviously hotels were like one of the first things to go. So I, you know, started my own company within that same week, actually. And a few of my friends came together and we started talking, you know, what do people need right now? And that's kind of where we came up with this concept of like, let's host community fireside chats that'll all be like happy hour themed and we'll focus on different industries each night. And so we launched Fireside at 5 on March 19th and started hosting chats for up to 8 people to join, where we would facilitate a discussion and everyone would jump on and talk about what was going on in their world. And it really gave us a peek into kind of what everyone was experiencing as well as what the latest trends were for each industry. And so from there, we started to kind of grow Fireside at 5 into a larger virtual programming platform, which ultimately has kind of landed us where we are today, where we're hosting live stream panel series with, companies and brands all over the country. So that's kind of where Fireside at 5 is now, but it's definitely taken the community to get there and all the participation from people that have joined onto our chats. You know, that's been the biggest thing for us. So to date, we've done over 100 chats. We've had over 500 people join. We've done 8 community projects, including a big mural in downtown Denver, and some work with the Biden-Harris campaign as well. We just wrapped a series with the University of Denver about what the future of Denver is going to look like after this pandemic. So some really exciting stuff and would love to chat more about any or all of it. Thanks for considering.
I love that Fireside at 5, Gertie's platform, is connecting people, you know, through a time when we are so disconnected, and is creating a positive space to learn about different industries and how people are adapting. Like, I feel like we all need to hear these stories. That's why I'm really excited about this episode. Yeah. So the next one, Emma Siegel. I've connected with her because she works in the wine industry. She sent me some wine. It was pretty dang cool. I mean, that was one of the ways to my heart. Her story is super interesting because it gives you an inside look into how people in, and I mean, I wouldn't really understand how the wine tasting Napa Valley industry would work and how they would have to adapt during this time. So it's been really interesting to hear her story. So without further ado, Emma Siegel.
My name is Emma, and I am a member of the hospitality and service industry, more specifically the wine industry in Napa Valley, California. To be completely honest, I don't totally know where to begin when it comes to talking about pivoting, especially as it pertains to pretty much all of 2020. We've seen a very, very difficult year that we're just, you know, finally out of, but still not completely done with, as we are experiencing our secondary shelter at home order, as most regions in California are experiencing. So for us, that means no tastings can be conducted, whether it be indoor or outdoor. So we have gone through another round of layoffs and furloughs. We're not having, obviously, any visitors, whether it be driving traffic, especially not flying traffic coming in. So everything's really been put on hold, much like it was back in March when we went through this initially, and Napa Valley was a ghost town. You really only saw locals, but even then, people were very scared and they were really staying at home. So to adapt from there and see, you know, really what our landscape was going to be once we reopen, the patterns that I saw was a lot of in-state Bay Area region driving traffic into Napa Valley, maybe staying a night, typically just up for the day, people that were just really enthusiastic to be out of the house, to go and just be served. I mean, I know that I was really sick of making my own meals, making my own cocktails, many cocktails, let's be real, and opening my own wine, where it's something that's as simple as having someone else do those little things for you really goes a long way. And you really do miss that and miss getting out of the house, getting dressed up, whether it's the nicer pair of yoga pants or leggings, or it's, you know, the fancier jeans and high heels and getting together with your friends. There was a big void that was there, as we've all noticed and experienced. But even then, to be on the other side of it, where we're the ones administering that hospitality and service, we definitely saw a really enthusiastic group of clientele coming in. The decisions that we had made as a business, as we had to continuously pivot throughout reopening in mid-June through the secondary closure in December, was wearing gloves when touching fresh glassware, wearing gloves when removing dirty glassware, and that includes a fresh set for each time, a whole new set of gloves when you're touching, you know, breaking down an entire table of glasses and sanitizing the table, and then going back out, getting a new set of gloves and putting all fresh glassware down. Something that isn't that foreign or anything when dealing with surfaces that people have put their mouths on, but just something that we never really worried about. We would always wash our hands in between handling glassware, but never to the extent of having a complete layer on top of our hands when dealing with that. So it was just extra due diligence to make sure that we were doing that. And that in turn led to added costs for a lot of these businesses that aren't really used to have, you know, all of these PPEs basically, and having this ready for staffing, because it wasn't of concern at the time. We had gone long enough where you're not really transmitting a bunch of infectious diseases or anything of the sort. So while it was an interesting pivot, it was certainly one that was needed. But aside from PPEs and just that basic functionality, we had experienced many times when we would get on a good roll of where we were conducting our experiences and then having to completely change it. We initially were able to completely operate indoors, not just with retail, but also with tastings and service and hosting guests. And then we had to pivot and only be outdoors, which for my business, we didn't have the proper licensing. So we had to wait an extra week and a half before we could host guests again, because we weren't licensed to operate outdoors. Obviously, alcohol being a controlled substance, we had to go through the governing body, ABC, to make sure that we had our proper permitting and proper licensing to be able to conduct our business outdoors. Thankfully, we got it. You know, we were able to rapidly move through that process, which can usually take much longer than a week and a half. So we were very fortunate in that sense. So then we were conducting only outdoor tastings for a few weeks, which unfortunately were some of the hottest weeks of the summer. It can be a balmy 108 when you're mid up valley in Napa, and it's not a whole lot of fun to pour Cabernet Sauvignon when it's very, very hot outside. It's generally not a good selling point for these wines. So not only were we struggling with how we were hosting and how hot it was, but we're also struggling just to sell because we weren't really able to show our product in the best form because of the heat. Thankfully, we were able to go back indoors for a period of time, and we were really excited. We were grooving, and we were able to double our capacity because we were able to have three outdoor tables and then three areas indoors, all of which were socially distant, always sanitized, always kept clean. But you're adding in this extra time between guests that you're hosting to make sure that you're properly sanitizing and everything is clean and, you know, safe for everyone to use after one group has come in. So it really took into our time with guests and having to cut some experiences short. And it also cut into our budget of having to make sure we had proper PPE, that we had proper, you know, chemicals to make sure everything was sanitized, but not too abrasive on certain surfaces. And it was just a little bit of trial and error, as it will be for the foreseeable future until we hit, you know, more normal, quote unquote, normal stride from here on out. And then we went through our next move into the most restrictive tier before having to go into full on shelter at home, which meant we were only operating outside. But we do experience winter here as much as it is a paradise. We do see rain showers and relatively cooler temperatures. So then we had to go out and make sure that we had tenting and that we had the proper number of walls up on the tents to make sure that we were allowing enough airflow. Because if you're going to have a four-walled tent, you might as well just be back indoors because it's too constrictive and all that good stuff. So we have pivoted many a times in 2020, and I'm sure we will continue as we work our way back to safely being reopened and excitedly opening up to welcome guests in and just having people in and experience the wonderful world of Napa Valley, some of the, you know, best wines in this world, some of the best food and the most amazing hospitality you will ever see. We're very excited to host everyone back here once it's safe, but wear a mask, wash your hands, be safe, and we look forward to things being as normal as possible with a vaccine come whenever that may be. But all the best. Cheers. Rachel, I just want to say thank you so much, and I'm so flattered and honored to be able to be a part of this. I know you probably heard my first recording, but I do just genuinely want to say thank you, and very much look forward to the episode, and very much look forward to hopefully one day having you come up and visit Napa and getting to see the wonder of this world up here. But I hope you and Greg are safe. Everything's going well. You're staying busy with your projects. And I'm just so, so proud and fortunate to be able to be a part of this, and love all the things that you do, and keep doing the damn thing, girl. Talk to you later. Cheers.
Okay, so Rob came to me. This is the next story. Rob came to me by way of a personal trainer that I've connected with on Instagram, Juliana. Her Instagram is Jewels and Pearls. I think there's some like underscores in there. Anyway, so she messaged me when she saw the post, and she said, "My husband has a really cool story. Can he email it to you?" I was like, "Yes, of course." So here is his story.
I have been able to make connections with other streamers. I am getting paid to be a source of entertainment for people. And I never thought that I would be doing something in social media like this. And it's really interesting to think that everything that I had been training in is actually helping me do what I need to do and what I am doing. You know, people are looking for a connection. And it's an amazing journey to kind of go into this world not knowing really anything about it and see what it really is. And video game streaming is about connection. It's about meeting people and feeling like you're a part of something and bonding over something that you really love, whether that be a specific game or literally just sitting and talking. So the pandemic really kind of forced me in a direction that I never anticipated going in, and it's going well. Well, we decided not to move to New York for obvious reasons, and we relocated to Denver, Colorado. And now I own a business where I can grow my Twitch stream and my social media platforms and continue to bring in revenue based on the skills that I had learned prior. And this was something that I never, ever, ever imagined. But it's one of the best things that's ever happened to me. You know, a great American poet, William Arthur Ward, once said that a pessimist complains about the wind. An optimist expects it to change, but a realist adjusts its sails. So my question and my urge is to keep your mind open and just let the wind blow.
Okay, honestly, I mean, that ending needs a standing ovation. Seriously, I am so impressed with how he found a way to still use his skills and training as an actor and entertainer. I mean, and also most actors in LA, they just like take a few like Meisner classes or whatever, scene study classes. Like, they don't go and get their master's to become an actor only to graduate, and then the pandemic hits and the entertainment, TV and film industry basically shuts down for a while, but is severely slowed down. So I just think it's so cool that he still found a way to do what he loves in just a different format. It's like the perfect reshaping and reinventing one's passion to fit the time. So that just, I adore that.